Dhirodatta. A Dhirodatta is a person who is naturally very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. In this connection, the following statement given by Indra, the King of Heaven, is very significant. Quote, "My dear Lord, I admit that I have committed great offenses unto you, but I cannot express my feelings of regret, being bewildered at seeing your extraordinary chivalrous spirit, your endeavor to protect your devotees, your determination, your steadiness in lifting the great hill of Govardhan, your beautiful bodily features, and your astonishing characteristic of being pleased simply by accepting the prayers of your devotees and offenders." Unquote. The above statement by the King of Heaven is an exact corroboration of Krishna's being Dhirodatta. Many learned scholars have agreed to also accept Lord Ramachandra as Dhirodatta, but all of Lord Ramachandra's qualities are also included in the character of Lord Krishna. Dhira Lalita. A person is called Dhira Lalita if he is naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from all anxieties. Such a Dhira Lalita personality is generally found to be domesticated and very submissive to his lover. This Dhira Lalita trait in the personality of Krishna is described by Yajnapatni, the wife of one of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifices in Vrindavan. She tells her friends, quote, "One day Srimati Radharani, accompanied by her associates, was taking rest in her garden, and at that time Lord Sri Krishna arrived in that assembly. After sitting down, he began to narrate very impudently about his previous night's pastimes with Radharani. While he was speaking in that way, Radharani became very embarrassed. She was feeling ashamed and was absorbed in thought, and Krishna took the opportunity to mark her breasts with different kinds of tilak. Krishna proved himself to be very expert in that art." Unquote. In this way, Krishna, as Dhira Lalita, was enjoying his youthful proclivities in the company of the gopis. Generally, those who are expert in writing drama choose to call Cupid the ideal Dhira Lalita, but we can more perfectly find in the personality of Krishna all the characteristics of Dhira Lalita. Dhira Prashanta. A person who is very peaceful, forbearing, considerate, and obliging is called Dhira Prashanta. This Dhira Prashanta trait of Krishna was exhibited in his dealings with the Pandavas. On account of the Pandavas' faithful devotion to the Lord, he agreed to become their charioteer, their advisor, their friend, their messenger, and sometimes their bodyguard. Such is an example of the result of devotional service toward Vishnu. When Krishna was speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthir about religious principles, he demonstrated himself to be a great learned scholar. But because he accepted the position of younger cousin to Yudhishthir, he was speaking in a very gentle tone, which enhanced his beautiful bodily features. The movements of his eyes and the mode of his speech prove that he was very, very expert in giving moral instruction. Sometimes Maharaj Yudhishthir is also accepted by learned scholars as Dhira Prashanta. Dirodata. A person who is very envious, proud, easily angered, restless, and complacent is called Dirodata by learned scholars. Such qualities were visible in the character of Lord Krishna because when he was writing a letter to Kalayavana, Krishna addressed him as a sinful frog. In his letter, Krishna advised Kalayavana that he should immediately go and find some dark well for his residence because there was a black snake named Krishna who was very eager to devour all such sinful frogs. Krishna reminded Kalayavana that he could turn all the universes to ashes simply by looking at them. The above statement by Krishna seems apparently to be of an envious nature, but according to different pastimes, places, and times, this quality is accepted as a great characteristic. Krishna's Dirodata qualities have been accepted as great because Krishna uses them only to protect his devotees. In other words, even undesirable traits may also be used in the exchange of devotional service. Sometimes Bhima, the second brother of the Pandavas, is also described as Dirodata. Once, while fighting with a demon who was appearing as a deer, Krishna challenged him in this way, quote, "I have come before you as a great elephant named Krishna. You must leave the battlefield accepting defeat or else there is death awaiting you," unquote. This challenging spirit of Krishna's is not contradictory to his sublime character. Because he is the supreme being, everything is possible in his character. There is a nice statement in the Kurma Purana about these contradictory traits of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated there that the Supreme Person is neither very fat nor very thin. He is always transcendental to material qualities, and yet his bodily luster is blackish. His eyes are reddish. He is all-powerful, and he is equipped with all different kinds of opulences. Contradictory traits in Krishna's person are not at all surprising. One should not consider the characteristics of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be actually contradictory. One should try to understand the traits of Krishna from authorities and try to understand how these characteristics are employed by the supreme will of the Lord. In the Mahavaraha Purana, it is confirmed that the transcendental bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his expansions are all existing eternally. Such bodies are never material. They are completely spiritual and full of knowledge. They are reservoirs of all transcendental qualities. In the Vishnu Yamala Tantra, there is a statement that because the personality of Godhead and his expanded bodies are always full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity, they are always free from the 18 kinds of material contaminations, illusion, fatigue, errors, roughness, material lust, restlessness, pride, envy, violence, disgrace, exhaustion, untruth, anger, hankering, dependence, desire to lord over the universe, seeing duality, and cheating. Regarding all of the above-mentioned statements, it is understood that the Mahavishnu is the source of all incarnations in the material world. But because of his greater extraordinary opulence, we can understand that the son of Nanda Maharaj is the source of the Mahavishnu also. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, wherein it is stated, quote, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, whose partial representation is the Mahavishnu," unquote. The gigantic form of the Mahavishnu is the source of generation for innumerable universes. Innumerable universes are coming out of his exhaling breath, and the same universes are going back in with his inhaling breath. This Mahavishnu is also a plenary portion of a portion of Krishna. And now chapter 24, further traits of Sri Krishna. After describing the different opulences of Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami tries to further describe the transcendental beauties and qualities of the Lord as decorated, enjoying, pleasing, dependable, steady, and predominating. He is also described as a meticulous dresser and a magnanimous personality. These are generally considered to be the qualities of great personalities. Decorated. It is said that a person is great if he is decorated with the qualities of being very merciful toward the unfortunate, very powerful, superior, chivalrous, enthusiastic, expert, and truthful. These decorations were manifested in the character of Krishna during his Govardhan Leela. At that time, the whole tract of land in Vrindavan was being disturbed by the rains sent by Indra, as described elsewhere. At first, Krishna thought, quote, "Let me retaliate against this vengeance of Indra by destroying his heavenly kingdom," unquote. But later on, when he thought of the insignificance of the King of Heaven, Krishna changed his mind and felt merciful toward Indra. No one is able to tolerate the wrath of Krishna. So instead of retaliating against Indra, he simply showed his compassion for his friends in Vrindavan by lifting the whole of Govardhan Hill to protect them. Enjoying. When a person is seen to be always happy and is accustomed to speak smilingly, he is considered to be in the mode of enjoyment. This trait was found in Krishna when he appeared at the sacrificial arena of King Kamsa. It is described that the lotus-eyed Krishna entered among the wrestlers without being impolite to them, glanced over them with determination, and seemed to them just like an elephant attacking some plants. Even while speaking to them, Krishna was still smiling, and in this way he stood valiantly upon the wrestling dais. Pleasing. When one's characteristics are very sweet and desirable, his personality is called pleasing. An example of Krishna's pleasing nature is thus described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, "One day while Krishna was awaiting the arrival of Srimati Radharani by the bank of the Yamuna, he began to make a garland of kadamba flowers. In the meantime, Srimati Radharani appeared there. And at that time, Murari, or Krishna, the enemy of Mura, glanced over Radharani very sweetly." Unquote. Dependable. Any person who is reliable in all circumstances is called dependable. In this connection, Rupa Goswami says that even the demons were relying upon the dependability of Krishna, because they were confident that Krishna would never attack them without due cause. Therefore, with faith and confidence, they used to live with their doors wide open. And the demigods, although afraid of the demons, were confident of the protection of Krishna. Therefore, even in the midst of danger, they were engaged in sportive activities. Persons who had never undergone the reformatory ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas were confident that Krishna would accept only faith and devotion, and so they were engaged in Krishna consciousness and were freed from all anxieties. In other words, all kinds of men, from the demigods down to the uncultured, can rely on the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Steady. A person who is not disturbed, even in a situation of reverses, is called steady. This steadiness was observed in Krishna in connection with his chastising the demon known as Bana. The Bana demon had many hands, and Krishna was cutting off these hands one after another. This Bana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva and the goddess Durga. Thus, when Bana was being chastised, Lord Shiva and Durga became very furious at Krishna, but Krishna did not care for them. Predominating. A person who can affect the mind of everyone is called predominating. As far as Krishna's predomination is concerned, in the 10th canto, 43rd chapter, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is described thus by Shukdev Goswami to King Parikshit. Quote, "My dear King, Krishna is a thunderbolt to the wrestlers. To the common man, he is the most beautiful human being. To the young girls, he is just like Cupid. To the cowherd men and women, he is the most intimate relative. To the impious kings, he is the supreme ruler. To his parents, Nanda and Yashoda, he is just a baby. To Kamsa, the king of Bhoja, he is death personified. To the dull and stupid, he is just like a stone. To the yogis, he is the supreme absolute truth. And to the Vrishnis, he is the supreme personality of Godhead." In such a predominating position, Krishna appeared in that arena along with his older brother, Balaram. Unquote. When Krishna, the reservoir of all mellows, was present in the arena of Kamsa, he appeared differently to the different persons who were related to him in different mellows. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he appears to every person according to one's relationship with him. Sometimes learned scholars describe predominating to mean a person intolerant of being neglected. This peculiarity in Krishna was visible when Kamsa was insulting Maharaj Nanda. Vasudeva was asking Krishna's assistance in killing Kamsa, and Krishna was glancing over Kamsa with longing eyes, just like a prostitute, and was just preparing to jump at the king. Meticulous dresser. A person who is very fond of dressing himself is called Lalita, or a meticulous dresser. This characteristic was found in Krishna in two ways. Sometimes he used to decorate Srimati Radharani with various marks, and sometimes, when he was preparing to kill demons like Arishtasura, he would take care to arrange his belt very nicely. Magnanimous. Persons who can give themselves to anyone are called magnanimous. No one could be more magnanimous than Krishna because he is always prepared to give himself completely to his devotee. Even to one who is not a devotee, Krishna in his form of Lord Chaitanya is prepared to give himself and to grant deliverance. Although Krishna is independent of everyone, out of his causeless mercy, he is dependent upon Garga Rishi for religious instruction. For learning the military art, he is dependent upon Satyaki. And for good counsel, he is dependent upon his friend Uddhava.
ప్రియం ప్రియకరం నిర్మాసరౌ పూజితం నానా శాస్త్ర విచారణైక నిపుణం.
And now chapter 25, Devotees of Krishna.
Lokanam hitakarinam tribhuvane mannam saranyakanam nana shastra vicharanikanikanam.
A person who is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness is called a devotee of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami says that all the transcendental qualities discussed previously are also found in the devotees of Krishna. The devotees of Krishna can be classified into two groups: those who are cultivating devotional service in order to enter into the transcendental kingdom, and those who are already in the perfectional stage of devotional service. A person who has attained the stage of attraction for Krishna and who is not freed from the material impasse, but who has qualified himself to enter into the kingdom of God, is called sadhak. Sadhak means one who is cultivating devotion in Krishna consciousness. The description of such a devotee is found in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 46 of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said there that a person who has unflinching faith in and love for the personality of Godhead, who is in friendship with devotees of Krishna, and who is very merciful to the ignorant, raising them to the standard of devotional service, and who is uninterested in non-devotees, is considered to be situated in the position of cultivating devotional service. When one is found shedding tears by hearing of the pastimes of the Lord, it is to be understood that the blazing fire of material existence will be extinguished by such watering. When there is shivering of the body and the hairs of the body stand up, it is to be understood that the devotee is nearing perfection. An example of a sadhak cultivating devotional service is Bilva Mangal Thakur. When a devotee is never tired of executing devotional service and is always engaged in Krishna conscious activities, constantly relishing the transcendental mellows in relationship with Krishna, he is called perfect. This perfectional stage can be achieved in two ways. One may achieve this stage of perfection by gradual progress in devotional service, or one may become perfect by the causeless mercy of Krishna, even though he has not executed all the details of devotional service. There is the following nice statement in the 3rd canto, 15th chapter, verse 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing a devotee who achieves perfection by regularly executing devotional service. A person who is freed from the false egotism of material existence, or an advanced mystic, is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God known as Vaikuntha. Such a mystic becomes so joyful by constant execution of the regulative principles of devotional service that he thereby achieves the special favor of the Supreme Lord. Yamaraj, the mighty superintendent of death, is afraid to go near such a devotee. So we can imagine the potency of advanced devotional service, especially when devotees sit together and engage in talking of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those devotees express their feelings in such a way that they automatically melt with ecstasy, and many transcendental symptoms become manifested in their bodies. anyone desiring advancement in devotional service must follow in the footsteps of such devotees. Prahlad Maharaj said that no one can attain the perfectional stage of devotional service without bowing down before exalted devotees. Learned sages like Markandeya Rishi attain perfection in devotional service simply by executing such regulative principles of service. A person's achieving perfection in devotional service simply by the causeless mercy of the Lord is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with the Brahmins and their wives who were engaged in performing yajna or sacrifice. When the wives of the Brahmins were favored by Lord Krishna and immediately attained the ecstasy of love of Godhead, their husbands said, quote, "How wonderful it is that although these women have undertaken no reformatory performances, such as accepting the sacred thread, have not resided in the monasteries of the spiritual master, have not observed the strict principles of celibacy, have not undergone any austerities, and have not philosophized upon the observance of ritualistic ceremonies, they still have attained the favor of Krishna, which is aspired after even by great mystics. How wonderful it is that these women have attained such perfection, while we, although Brahmins who have performed all the reformatory activities, cannot attain to this advanced stage." Unquote. There is a similar statement by Narad addressed to Shukdev Goswami. Quote, "My dear Shukdev Goswami, you never took the trouble to reside under the care of a spiritual master, and yet you have attained such a great status of transcendental knowledge. You never took the trouble to undergo severe austerities, and still how wonderful it is that you have been situated in the most perfect stage of love of Godhead." Unquote. Shukdev Goswami and the wives of the Brahmins performing yajna are vivid examples of devotees who achieve the perfectional stage of devotional service by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eternal perfection. Persons who have achieved eternal, blissful life exactly on the level of Sri Krishna and who are able to attract Lord Krishna by their transcendental loving service are called eternally perfect. The technical name is Nitya Siddha. There are two classes of living entities, namely Nitya Siddha and Nitya Baddha. The distinction is that Nitya Siddhas are eternally Krishna conscious without any forgetfulness, whereas the Nitya Baddhas, or eternally conditioned souls, are forgetful of their relationship with Krishna. The position of the Nitya Siddhas is explained in the Padma Purana in connection with the narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Satyabhama Devi. The Lord tells Satyabhama, quote, "My dear Satyabhama Devi, I have descended to this earthly planet by the request of Lord Brahma and other demigods. Those who are born into this family of Yadu are all my eternal associates. My dear wife, you should not consider that my associates are ever separated from me. They are my personal expansions, and as such, you must know that they are almost as powerful as I am. Because of their transcendental qualities, they are very, very dear to me, as I am very, very dear to them." Unquote. Anyone who becomes exhilarated by hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna when he was present on this earth with his associates is to be understood as Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 32 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this statement, quote, "How wonderful are the fortunate residents of Vrindavan, such as Nanda and the other cowherd men. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahman, has actually become their intimate friend, unquote. A similar statement is there in the 10th canto, 26th chapter, verse 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, the cowherd men, under the protection of Lord Krishna, became struck with wonder and went to Nanda Maharaj and inquired from him, quote, "My dear Nanda Maharaj, how is it that we are so intensely attached to Krishna and that Krishna is also so affectionately attached to us? Does it mean that he is the super soul of everyone?" Unquote. All of the residents of Vrindavan and Dwarka, namely the cowherd men and the members of the Yadu family, are eternally perfect devotees of the Lord. As the Lord descends by his causeless mercy upon this planet, so in order to help in the pastimes of the Lord, these devotees also come here. They are not ordinary living entities or conditioned souls. They are ever-liberated persons, associates of the personality of Godhead. And just as Lord Krishna behaves like an ordinary man when he descends to this planet, so the members of the Yadu dynasty and the residents of Vrindavan execute activities just like ordinary men. But they are not ordinary men. They are as liberated as Lord Krishna himself. In the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda section, it is stated, quote, "Just as Lord Ramchandra descends along with Lakshman, an expansion of Sankarshan, and Bharat, an expansion of Pradyumna, so the members of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherd men of Vrindavan also descend with Lord Krishna in order to join in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. When the Supreme Lord returns to his eternal abode, his associates return with him to their respective places. As such, these ever-liberated Vaishnavas are not bound by the material laws of birth and death." Unquote. As stated in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself, his birth, deeds, and activities are all transcendental. Similarly, the birth, deeds, and activities of the associates of the Lord are also transcendental. And as it is an offense to consider oneself to be Krishna, so it is offensive to consider oneself to be Yashoda, Nanda, or any other associate of the Lord. We should always remember that they are transcendental. They are never conditioned souls. It is described that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, has 64 transcendental qualities, and all of the ever-liberated souls who accompany the Lord have the first 55 of the qualities. Without any doubt. Such devotees are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any of five transcendental mellows, namely neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. These relationships with the Lord are eternal, and therefore Nitya Siddha devotees do not have to strive to attain the perfectional stage by executing regulative devotional principles. They are eternally qualified to serve Krishna.
Dhira jana priyam priyakaram nirma saral pujitam nana shastra vichar naik nipunam
sadharma sang. And now chapter 26, stimulation for ecstatic love.
Tribhuvane mannam saranyakaram nana shastra vicharanikanipunam.
Some things which give impetus or stimulation to ecstatic love of Krishna are his transcendental qualities, his uncommon activities, his smiling features, his apparel and garlands, his flute, his buffalo horn, his leg bells, his conch shell, his footprints, his places of pastimes such as Vrindavan, his favorite plant, Tulsi, his devotee, and the periodical occasions for remembering him. One such occasion for remembrance is Ekadashi, which comes twice a month on the 11th day of the moon, both waning and waxing. On that day, all the devotees remain fasting throughout the night and continuously chant the glories of the Lord. Krishna's transcendental qualities, his uncommon activities, and his smile. As far as Krishna's transcendental qualities are concerned, they can be divided into three groups: qualities pertaining to his transcendental body, qualities pertaining to his transcendental speech, and qualities pertaining to his transcendental mind. Krishna's age, his transcendental bodily features, his beauty and his mildness are qualities pertaining to his body. There is no difference between Krishna and his body, and therefore the transcendental features pertaining to his body are the same as Krishna himself. But because these qualities stimulate the devotee's ecstatic love, they have been analyzed as separate causes of that love. To be attracted by the qualities of Krishna means to be attracted by Krishna himself, because there is no real distinction between Krishna and his qualities. Krishna's name is also Krishna. Krishna's fame is also Krishna. Krishna's entourage is also Krishna. Krishna and everything related with Krishna, which gives stimulation to love of Krishna, are all Krishna. But for our understanding, these items may be considered separately. Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. Therefore, the impetuses to love of Krishna, although seemingly different, are not actually distinct from Krishna himself. In the technical Sanskrit terms, such qualities as Krishna's name and fame are accepted both as reservoirs of and as stimulation for love of Krishna. Krishna's age is considered in three periods. From his appearance day to the end of his fifth year is called Komada. From the beginning of the sixth year up to the end of the tenth year is called Pogunda. And from the 11th to the end of the 15th year is called Kaishora. After the beginning of the 16th year, Krishna is called a Yovana, or a youth, and this continues with no change. As far as Krishna's transcendental pastimes are concerned, they are mostly executed during the Komada, Pogunda, and Kaishora periods. His affectionate pastimes with his parents are executed during his Komada age. His friendship with the cowherd boys is exhibited during the Pogunda period. And his friendship with the gopis is exhibited during the age of Kaishora. Krishna's pastimes at Vrindavan are finished by the end of his 15th year, and then he is transferred to Mathura and Dwarka, where all other pastimes are performed. Srila Rupa Goswami gives us a vivid description of Krishna as the reservoir of all pleasure in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Here are some parts of that description. Krishna's Kaishora age may be divided into three parts. In the beginning of his Kaishora age, that is, at the beginning of his 11th year, the luster of his body becomes so bright that it becomes an impetus for ecstatic love. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes and a growth of soft hairs on his body. In describing this early stage of his Kaishora age, Kundalata, one of the residents of Vrindavan, said to her friend, quote, "My dear friend, I have just seen an extraordinary beauty appearing in the person of Krishna. His blackish bodily hue appears just like the Indranila jewel. There are reddish signs on his eyes, and small soft hairs are coming out on his body. The appearance of these symptoms has made him extraordinarily beautiful." Unquote. In this connection, in the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami tells King Parikshit, quote, "My dear king, I shall try to describe how the minds of the gopis became absorbed in thought of Krishna. The gopis would meditate on Krishna's dressing himself just like a dancing actor and entering the forest of Vrindavan, marking the ground with his footprints. They meditated on Krishna's having a helmet with a peacock feather and wearing earrings on his ears and yellow gold-colored garments covered with jewels and pearls. They also meditated on Krishna's blowing his flute and on all the cowherd boys singing of the glories of the Lord." Unquote. That is the description of the meditation which the gopis used to perform. Sometimes the gopis would think about his soft nails, his moving eyebrows, and his teeth, which were catechu colored from chewing pan. One description was given by a gopi to her friend, quote, "My dear friend, just see how the enemy of Agha has assumed such wonderful features. His brows are just like the brows of Cupid, and they are moving just as though they were dancing. The tips of his nails are so soft, it is as if they were dried bamboo leaves. His teeth are reddish, and so it appears that he has assumed a feature of anger. Under the circumstances, where is the chance for a young girl not to be attracted by such beautiful features and not to be afraid of becoming a victim to such beauty?" Unquote. Krishna's attractive features are also described by Vrinda, the gopi after whom Vrindavan was named. She told Krishna, quote, "My dear Madhava, your newly invented smile has so captivated the hearts of the gopis that they are simply unable to express themselves. As such, they have become bewildered and will not talk with others. All of these gopis have become so affected that it is as if they had offered 3 sprinkles of water upon their lives. In other words, they have given up all hope for their living condition." Unquote. According to the Indian system, when a person is dead, there is a sprinkling of water on the body. Thus, the statement of Vrinda shows that the gopis were so enchanted by the beauty of Krishna that because they could not express their minds, they had decided to commit suicide. When Krishna arrived at the age of 13 to 14 years, his 2 arms and chest assumed an unspeakable beauty, and his whole form became simply enchanting. When Krishna attained 13 years of age, his 2 thighs were challenging the trunks of elephants. His rising chest was trying to come to peace talks with doors of jewels, and his 2 arms were minimizing the value of the bolts found on doors. Who can describe the wonderful beauty of these features of Krishna? The special beauty of Krishna's body was his mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his world-enchanting songs. These are the special features of this age.